Weston.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lurie. Coming up today, we're going to talk about yesterday's elections, especially that amazing race on the Democratic side for the gubernatorial nomination. We'll be joined by Adam Smith of the Tampa Bay Times in just a moment. First, two listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, at 10 o'clock, we played a speech by Pulitzer Prize winning reporter Chris Hedges. And here's what two listeners had to say.
Joey here. I just want to thank you for playing Chris Hedges today. Love that kind of stuff on the air. We're not going to hear it anywhere else but WMNF. So thanks again for playing Chris Hedges today.
This is Jackie down in Sarasota, and I just had a comment to make. I heard this woman's previous comment just now about how you shouldn't play this on Election Day, and I was thinking exactly the opposite. I was so glad you played that today. She sees it as cynical, but he's just telling it the way it is. And voting is just one more of those things that we can all do to be victorious. That was his whole message. Do what you can do.
Well, there you have a couple of listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. Well, a progressive Democrat pulled off an upset victory last night in Florida's primary for governor, while President Donald Trump's favored candidate cruised to victory for the GOP, setting up a fierce fall showdown in November. We're going to talk about the elections yesterday with Adam Smith, who is the Tampa Bay Times political editor. And Adam, welcome to WMNF. Great to have you here.
Hey, how are you, Rob?
I'm good. So, Adam, how late did you stay up last night?
You know, I feel like I'm supposed to say I stayed up till 3 o'clock, but I didn't.
It was decided.
I nothing to show off about, but it was a heck of a night. Yeah,
it was decided pretty early, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, the oftentimes as soon as 8 o'clock rolls around and they close the central time zone precincts, you can virtually know where it's going because of the early vote so prevalent. And we certainly did on the Republican side.
Well, let's talk about the Democratic side for a moment. That, I think, surprised everybody. It certainly surprised me. I was expecting it was going to be Gwen Graham first, maybe Phil Levine second, and then maybe Andrew Gillum, a rising but third place finisher. Did it surprise you?
Oh, I knew this would happen all along. No, I was definitely surprised. I think I have been saying for some time that there's something about Gillum that the polls are not picking up. I just know anecdotally, almost any time one talks to regular Democratic voters that are paying close attention to the primary, the name you heard over and over again was Gillum, Gillum, Gillum. And he really was the only candidate that was exciting people. But no, it was a stunning and historic upset last night.
Now, Gillum did well, rather, in Southeast Florida. So if we looked at Broward and Dade County, he did well. Was that a surprise?
Yeah, and I look at Duval County as one of those very vote-rich counties with a huge African-American population. He did extraordinarily well there. You know, I think it was a little bit of a below the radar campaign. And keep in mind, he didn't have any money, but he always had a strong volunteer organic grassroots campaign. And then on top of that, he had a lot of progressive groups, labor-backed progressive groups that weren't getting a lot of attention, but they were working hard and they were working passionately for him.
So does that mean that a progressive candidate can win statewide in the fall election? I mean, Gillum has the endorsement of Bernie Sanders. What do you think, what are the hurdles that remain for Gillum in the fall?
I think that's a question we're going to see. I mean, Gillum is a really talented politician among a group of five very credible Democrats. He was the standout just in terms of personal appeal. He seems like a real guy. He seems like a good guy. But that said, he really, because he was so written off by his rivals and by some of us in the press and the punditry, that he didn't get a lot of scrutiny. And so, you know, there are some serious issues, particularly an FBI investigation hanging over Tallahassee City Hall. It was barely talked about in the primary, and Lord knows the Republicans will talk about that a great deal.
Now, has that investigation of the Tallahassee City Hall, has it named him? Is he the target of that investigation?
You know, he says that the FBI has told him he is not the target of the investigation. But the FBI has said nothing publicly, and what's come out so far is that it's pretty clear that Scott Maddox, a city council member, former chairman of the Florida Democratic Party, is definitely a target. But that said, Gillum has turned up all over the place. There are photos of an FBI investigation with Gillum. There was an FBI informant on several trips that Gillum was involved in. So he's not immune from people certainly linking him very closely to that investigation.
You wrote a column today, The Winners and Losers, and you said one of the losers was the FBI. I think the point of your... Well, what the point of that was that you wanted to say that the FBI should come clean and say whether or not Gillum is indeed under investigation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at some point, yes, there's protocol about you never confirm or deny an investigation, but this is different. This is a case where the governor of Florida could well be decided on the question of whether Gillum is truly not a target or is still being looked into. And I think the FBI owes it to the people of Florida, and for them to say this is not not something the FBI does. Well, James Comey basically handed the White House to Donald Trump because he weighed in on a investigation that turned out to be baseless regarding Hillary Clinton just weeks before that election. So I do think the FBI owes some kind of public transparency to voters.
We're talking with Adam Smith of the Tampa Bay Times. He's the political editor there, and you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Why do you think that Graham or Levine, in the end, weren't able to, win?
You know, there's something to be said about somebody who's a fighter and fires people up. And Graham, in particular, you know, first of all, she nearly did. But in particular, she kind of fit the mold of the nominees that the Democrats keep nominating and keep losing, albeit barely losing. And that's sort of a white centrist, unoffensive, pro-business a Democrat. And it just hasn't worked for cycle after cycle. The other factor that I think can be overlooked is Jeff Green, the billionaire, spent many millions of dollars tearing down Philip Levine and Gwen Graham. Not just TV ads, but flyer after flyer and a lot of digital ads. And so I think that had a significant impact in helping Gillum. You know, two people are torn down, and the one who's ignored, that elevates him.
Now, Levine was famous because he had sent out teams, and at least 14 teams around the state, to do a ground game. I wonder, you talked about Gillum's volunteer ground game. Levine had a paid ground game. That didn't seem to work.
You know, I'll tell you a story. I know a high school student that was signed up to do door-to-door for Levine at one time. I think it was $13 or maybe $15 an hour, which isn't a chump change. And this student confessed that some of the addresses were so far away from the given address that she, in some cases, just marked down on her sheet, well, 222 Elm Street, I'll put them down for a hard no. So, you know, a paid volunteer, I think Obama showed this. A true invested volunteer is a lot more effective than somebody who's just trying to make a few bucks.
So just getting back to Gillum for a moment, I wonder, what are there polls out there that tell us what Florida voters think about Medicare for All or $15 an hour minimum wage or some of the other progressive ideas that Gillum is behind?
I think on those two things, I haven't seen a poll recently, but there have been polls that show those are generally pretty popular. It kind of depends on how you phrase it. If you say, you know, Medicare for All, that tends to be popular. If you say do you want government to control your health care? That's a very different thing. And I think we have this sort of very pure choice now in Florida, a fairly committed, diehard, I was going to say conservative, but at least a Trump Republican in Ron DeSantis, and then a very committed, diehard, passionate liberal, a Bernie Sanders Democrat in Gillum. So I think that may be the real debate instead of what I think a lot of people thought this was going to be, more of a debate and a referendum on Trump himself. You're already seeing Republicans, you know, cast Gillum as a socialist. I think we're going to be hearing endlessly about is Gillum a socialist or a capitalist.
Yeah, and I think President Trump tweeted this morning that Gillum is a failed socialist Tallahassee mayor.
And apparently DeSantis is sort of likening him to Hugo Chavez or likening his agenda to Venezuela. So that's not very promising for a substantive general election.
All right, so let's just look at the Republican side for a moment. DeSantis won, but he didn't just squeak by. He trounced Adam Putnam. Why do you think that happened?
It's just amazing. I mean, Adam Putnam is a very strong candidate, and that kind of blowout just seems like it's unheard of and virtually impossible. But we are in these strange times with Donald Trump, and he is so popular in the Republican base, and Republican primary voters are so fed up with career politicians that and so fired up about illegal immigration that Putnam was doomed. I think he could have run a perfect candidacy, and it probably would have been hopeless.
And just getting back to the Democrat, Gillum had less money than the other four Democrats in that race. DeSantis spent less money than Adam Putnam did in his race on the Republican side.
Yeah, in a way, that's good news. That's a promising thing. But one wonders in the general election. You know, primary voters tend to be those who are paying the closest attention. I think I saw the last number I saw was about 27-28% turnout statewide. So those are the hardcores, and those are the people that pay the most attention, whether or not they're seeing TV ads. So they know the candidates the most. But yeah, it does go to show that TV ads, especially negative ads in this case, aren't necessarily all they're cracked up to be.
Do you think that DeSantis owes Fox News some payment for all the times that he's appeared on Fox News since the beginning of the year?
I mean, that's a great point. I think it's got to be unprecedented that a cable network has done so much, almost in-kind campaign contributions. He was on TV endlessly, sometimes 2-3 times a day. For much of this year, I saw him on Fox and Friends the morning of the election. It was almost like a campaign to make sure Ron DeSantis was the nominee.
And I wonder what counted more, President Trump's endorsement of Ron DeSantis or his appearances on Fox and Friends, or there's probably no way to tell which counted more.
I mean, they're virtually one and the same, it seems like. I mean, Fox News has become sort of a arm of the Trump political machine in a lot of ways. So I don't think there's much difference between the two. But clearly, Trump endorsement was huge. And I know the polling, some of the internal polling showed that after there was a one televised debate between Putnam and DeSantis on Fox News, obviously watched by primary voters in the Republican Party, and you know, a lot of people watching it thought it was close to a wash, but DeSantis was very clear in pointing out votes and positions Putnam had taken that weren't necessarily hardline immigration, and that helped really flip the race toward DeSantis.
You know, the interesting thing about that debate, and I watched the whole thing, was that it hardly had anything to do with Florida issues. That it was really about national issues, abortion, immigration, all things that the governor of Florida has very little input on.
Yeah, and I think that's partly a function of that's where we are. I mean, Trump just is dominating the news cycle so overwhelmingly that I do think, for better or worse, that's what voters are talking about, especially Republican voters. They are talking about the national issues. And immigration in particular is such a toxic issue for Republican voters that is something that both candidates just fixated on.
So, Adam, just the last question. We would make history if Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum would become the governor, because he would be the first African-American governor in Florida history. It's that kind of race versus a Trump candidate, Ron DeSantis, who I think is a very strong conservative. I think you write in your column today that he started off as a Tea Party Republican when he was first elected to office. It's handicap that a little bit. I mean, what does Gillum have to overcome? What does DeSantis have to overcome to win this election?
I think it could be an amazing race. And I think what Gillum has to overcome is being defined. Like right now, the next few weeks are going to be critical to Gillum because, like I said, he hasn't had a lot of scrutiny. He hasn't faced a lot of negative attacks from his opponents. So the danger is that the Republicans immediately sort of define him in the minds of Floridians as a socialist who's under investigation by the FBI, which is not accurate. And I think it's sort of an unknown question whether just how much of a drag Donald Trump will be in Florida on DeSantis. And I think a big question is independent voters and swing voters. You know, there still is a sliver, and sometimes the most important segment of the electorate in Florida is that swing voter. And now you've got no candidate who's campaigning as a centrist.
Do you think it makes any difference who they each select as their lieutenant governor?
I don't think it does at all. But I was just talking about that with somebody. You know, Bob Buckhorn looked like he was going to be a real contender, and I know he was being vetted tentatively by the Graham people. I could argue that he'd still be a good candidate for Gillum because he is kind of a centrist if Buckhorn was willing to join a ticket that seems so far to the left in his eyes. But no, the only time I think a lieutenant governor can really matter is if there's a big problem with them, and then the nominee has to spend, you know, precious time in the first 2 weeks of the general election, you know, answering questions or defending their choice.
Well, Adam Smith, thanks a lot for coming on WMNF. Great to have you here.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
Thanks. Take care. That's Adam Smith, who is the Tampa Bay Times political editor, and you can see his stuff at the Tampa Bay Times, and they have a great feature on their website called The Political Buzz. You should check that out because it keeps you up to date about politics here in Florida. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Let's listen to a little bit of what Andrew Gillum said this morning when he was on MSNBC with Joe Scarborough.
We had over 500,000 people come out yesterday and support the underdog candidate at a very, very grassroots level. I think my four opponents combined may have spent close to $90 million to our six. And it was the voices and the activism of everyday folks all across the state in red areas, blue areas, purple areas of this state who came together to elect me the Democratic nominee for governor of the state of Florida. That's the kind of grassroots support and capacity that's going to lead us forward to victory on the 6th of November.
You know, Mr. Mayor, Ron DeSantis, who won, of course, the Republican nomination for the Senate race, he put out a statement saying that you were far, far too liberal to get elected in the state of Florida. That sounds very familiar to what a lot of Republicans were saying about Barack Obama in 2008, that he was the second or third most liberal senator in the United States Senate. There was no way he would ever be elected president of the United States. What do you say to Ron DeSantis this morning?
Well, I'll just say to Florida voters, and I think they know this and demonstrated this yesterday, in the primary. What we've been talking about are the issues that concern everyday people. We've talked about what it means to pay people a wage that they can live on. We've spoken about what it means to have access to health care as a right and not a privilege. We talked to them about real criminal justice reform. And these were issues that showed up for us time and time again. Education. Florida right now, average teacher pay in the state of Florida is the 45th lowest of all 50 states. We're the third largest state in America. And yet we're back of the pack on some of the most important areas that matter. So Ron DeSantis can talk about race and liberalism and whatever else he wants to. I'm going to be clearly focused on the issues that confront everyday Floridians. And I honestly believe that that is what's going to allow us to carry this thing to victory on November 6th.
Andrew Gillum, who is the Democratic nominee for Florida governor, on MSNBC this morning. Let's listen to what Ron DeSantis, some of what Ron DeSantis said last night as he was declaring victory in the Republican primary for governor.
Look what's going on. We have 4.1% GDP growth. We got 20-year low in unemployment. We have Gorsuch on the U.S. Supreme Court. And we're going to add Brett Kavanaugh next. The Iran deal is dead. Our embassy in Israel is now in Jerusalem, where it belongs.
A little bit of what Ron DeSantis said. We've got more from the candidates that we might play in the next few minutes. So let's open up the phone lines. Take your phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. Sean Canan sent this from the newsroom. There are two stranded whales in Pinellas County. Clearwater Fire and Rescue says that they're in the 1500 block of Gulf Boulevard, and they're helping the Clearwater Marine Aquarium with stranded marine life. So that's a situation going on there in Clearwater. And Donald writes this about the election. I'm encouraged about yesterday's results, but after the votes were tallied, more people voted than in 2014, but as there was then still $100,000 vote difference between Republicans and Democratic voters, how can Dems win? That's a good question. The turnout for the Republicans in the governor's race was higher than the turnout for the Democrats yesterday in the governor's race. I think Donald's right. And then here's an unsigned email that says Gillum will run against Scott's poor record, which will help pull Nelson across the finish line, writes somebody unsigned from the 813 area code. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Bill Grace is our phone producer today. Let's take some phone calls about the elections, and we can talk about some of the other races that were on the ballot as well, as if there's a candidate that you're proud of or horrified of. You can call us up at 813-239-9663. Let's go to Ron in Lakeland. Ron, we're talking about the elections today. What did you think?
Well, I was surprised, I have to admit. My wife and I both voted for Andrew Gillum. We wanted to give voice to the progressive ideals that are nascent and I think very much alive in the Democratic Party if they stick around. And we really wanted to send a message to Big Dem and Big Money Dem that, you know, the people are in a different mood these days. I remember 4 years ago when Gwen Graham ran, it was as if she couldn't buy a clue. It seemed like the Democratic Party really marginalized her. I think about the only time I ever heard her was on your show. And it just seemed like the Democrats had someone else in mind. They were behind Alex Fink. That was their pick. And I think that was a big mistake back then that affected Graham today. She was kind of earmarked as a loser, as someone who couldn't make it. And I think that's what affected her inability to overcome Gillum's surge. I think another thing that happened for Gillum was that he attended, and this might have been significant of his campaign, there was a forum in Tampa that I heard about that was put on by the NAACP. I believe the Urban League was involved and some of the African-American fraternities and sororities were involved. And Gillum was the only person who attended. All five Democratic candidates for governor confirmed their appointment, confirmed that they would be there. And at the last minute, one by one, they all dropped out instead of Gillum. And I think it's that kind of dedication to the people that is going to be heard by the voters. And I think that Gillum is going to not only pull Nelson across the finish line, we may have a different day in Florida on November 7th. That's my hope.
All right, Ron, thanks a lot. Sounds like you're saying you can't ignore any part of the Democratic coalition.
Absolutely.
If you're running
and
statewide.
The Democrats have been doing that for far too long.
Yeah. All right, Ron, thanks a lot. Thanks for starting the conversation. We've got an open line, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Terry in Tampa. Hi, Terry. What did you think about the election outcome yesterday?
Well, good morning, and I'll say two things. First of all, we don't need a new Rick Scott DeSantos. So it goes two ways, because he's been an environmental disaster for Florida, and his follow-up DeSantos would be appreciably worse, because he wants to follow the same program of allowing our ecology to devolve into a toxic mess where humans and animals can't survive. So, you know, that's my take on that part of the election. But I'd also like to entertain this in your mind. If the Democrats win in the November midterms, we're going to be so angry and mad that we won that we're going to get violent with it. Now, you think about that, Rob.
Yeah, I wonder why the president said that.
Why are we going to be mad?
Well, Terry, I take it you're a Democrat. Are you going to be mad?
It's ludicrous and absurd. And maybe it's like some people have been saying, maybe he is trying to call out to those who would try to wreak havoc in this country and do insurrection because they can't have their way, because there's so many people that want to be united versus this isolationist, separatist. You know, it's what I say about this lobby is it's okay to be whatever you are, whatever your ethnic background, your social, political, your sexual orientation. It's okay to be you, and it should be that way in America all the way around. But some people are got a wrong head that everybody else is not like them, don't belong, and America's not like that. And I think this election is going to show that, and we're going to be quite happy.
All right, Terry, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments. All right, we're taking comments about the election outcome. And if you want to comment about the governor's race, or if you want to talk about any other race that was on the ballot yesterday, there were some interesting outcomes in some of the congressional races. Let's go to Tina in Tampa. Hi, Tina. What'd you think of the outcome yesterday?
Hi. Well, I was really surprised, but very pleased. I'm glad that Gillum won. I really didn't expect him to, because the state is like time after time, like everybody says, always chooses somebody who's so much in the center, you really can't tell what party they're in. But this time, these candidates are well-defined, and I think what happens in November is going to say a lot about the voters in Florida. Two things that struck me, that with a good turnout, and this, I don't think this is really a great turnout. We need to have more than, I think, what was it, 20% or 25%? We need to have more than that turnout, but it's better than what it was in 2014. That shows that that is so much better for the Democrats, and not only just the Democrats, but electing somebody who has, who isn't just trying to balance himself or herself in the center. And, something that your guest said about the mailers that were coming in, I was besieged by them, but, you know, it's election season. But I noticed Jeff Green, for example, very early on, he sounded, to me, you know, pretty good. And then as time got on, I was getting more mailers that were not about Jeff Green, but attacks. First he went after Gwen Graham. And then he started going after Levine, and this is at least in mailers. You know, I know he had a lot of advertising. He spent a lot of money on advertising. It would come on during the news. So that's pretty expensive advertising. But I don't think that those attacks really helped him, because it seemed like, to me at least, he was, starting to lose that when he initially went into the race. You know, he had more people's attention. I don't know if that was just at least my take on it. I think that hurt him being so negative toward the other Democrats, because truly, I think that mostly all of them sounded alike on the Democratic Party. They all basically said the same thing, but I think that Gillum was a little bit more specific. And so let's just hope that we have a good turnout in November and that the Democrats win, because I think Ron DeSantis would be more disaster for the state.
All right, Tina, thanks a lot. Thanks for your.
Thank you.
I did see I saw a lot of examples of really negative mailings by Jeff Green, and I agree with Tina. I was kind of surprised by that. It seemed like most of his mailings were intended to attack his fellow candidates. Let's go to Karen in Tampa. Hi, Karen. What did you think of the outcome of the elections yesterday?
It's funny. I said to somebody this morning, I feel like I've got like election PTSD because, like, after what happened, you know, with the presidential election, you wake up in the morning and it's like, oh my God, I feel like I can't go to sleep anymore because I don't know what craziness I'm going to wake up to. But this craziness, I'm actually not too, the Andrew Gillum thing was crazy, but not bad crazy. So, you know what I mean? But it's like, it's just always something completely unexpected.
Did you vote for Andrew Gillum, Karen? Are you a Democrat? Did you vote for him?
I am not registered as a Democrat, so I don't vote the primaries, but I always vote for Democrats. I don't know why I don't do that. It's just this independent thing, I don't know, that I hang on to. But I will definitely be voting for him. But there was something interesting in the paper, and this is something I've been saying for a long time, about how, like, you know, the Democrats keep running these, like, wishy-washy, middle-of-the-road, you know, people who are, like, afraid to be labeled liberal. And, you know, he and Bernie just kind of said, you know, the hell with that. And, yeah, you know what I mean? I'm liberal. I'm totally different from the Republicans. And I've been wanting them to do that for years. Like, how did we get to where, you know, the Republicans get to say liberal is evil and the Democrats, like, you know, are such cowards that, you know, they run away from that? You need to be, like, different. They need to be saying, yeah, we're liberal and here's what liberal means, you know, instead of like trying to hide from it and be, you know, kind of sort of Republican-ish liberals or liberal-ish Republicans. Like, you know, you need to be different, and he's doing that. And I'm hoping that will, I mean, I'm not very hopeful because I've learned not to be hopeful, but maybe, you know, if it works, then the Democrats can stop being such cowards.
Well, this is where I think Adam Smith's last point really comes in, and that is who gets to define whom? Will Ron DeSantis be able to define Andrew Gillum first, or will Gillum have enough money to define Ron DeSantis in a negative way? And, you know, a lot depends on how much money you have to define. So, you're right. I mean, I think Gillum was an entirely different voice on that campaign than the four other candidates, and spoke frankly about his liberalism in a way that I think the other candidates kind of couched it. Maybe Chris King was more, you know, he was out there pretty much as a liberal, but it'll be interesting to see, because a lot of people, I think, in Florida still have not yet met or heard about Andrew Gillum. And now it's up to Gillum to try to stave off any attempt by DeSantis to define him in a negative way.
Right, but I didn't know much about him either. But it's not just, he doesn't just have to do that. The whole Democratic Party has to start doing that. They have to start saying yes. You know what I mean? This is what we are, and it's different. And explaining it in simple terms for the morons to understand, but you know I don't understand how that happened, that they let the Republicans do that.
Well, part of it is money.
You know, this liberal elite monster. What the hell X does that even
okay.
mean?
You know? All right, Karen, thanks a lot. You're fired up. Thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. All right. Jeff in Newport Richey writes this. I can't wait to hear you liberals blaming racism instead of socialism as the reason DeSantis trounces Gillum. That's Jeff in Newport Richey. Well, if you want to comment about anything you've heard here, including Jeff's email, you can call us up, 813-239-9663. This is 88.5 FM. Marilyn writes this. She sent me a link to a Tallahassee.com story. Marilyn, I'll open that up after the show. Thank you very much. It's hard to open it up during the show. Chip and Tampa writes this. Gillum's win should put to rest the idea that money and name recognition are necessary to win elections. Let's ignore pundits and mainstream media saying pragmatism and centrist candidates are the way Dems can win. That's part of Chip's email from Tampa. Thank you very much. Chris in Tampa says, we're fired up, thanks, WMNF. I'm not sure to what that refers to, Chris, but thank you. And then Adam writes this, I think it's great that Gillum is focusing on the issues. DeSantis will focus more on attacking his opponent because he knows a lot of policies he would push are not popular. A clear focus on the issues and solutions is what can help push Gillum to victory, writes Adam. All right, let's go back to the phones, and we're talking about yesterday's election. If you want to talk about a county commission race, or if you want to talk about some of the other issues that were on the ballot, we're open to that. We'll take that phone call, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Miles in Sarasota. Hi, Miles. You're on MNF.
What would you like to say? Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
I'm so glad that Gillum won. I voted for, actually, Gwen, you know. But I'm a firm believer of parliamentary system, you know. You have to really, which is Canada and England, you know. I like that a lot.
We don't have that system. How would you propose bringing that to the U.S. if you think that's superior?
You won't. There's too much money involved. You won't.
All right.
They don't want that, you know. It should really be instilled, really, you know. But they probably won't, I'm sure, you know. It scares them off, you know.
Okay. Well, Miles, thanks. Thanks for your phone call.
Okay, buddy.
All right. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Jim on the Gandy Bridge. Jim, you're on MNF. What would you like to say about yesterday's elections?
Hey, thanks for letting me come into your Democrat Party. I'm a Republican, and I voted for DeSantis mainly because he supports E-Verify. I think that is a tool that should be implemented to police our immigration issues.
Well, Jim, thanks a lot. You know, this is really an open forum, so anybody can call, and I'm glad you called. So do you think that immigration is the number one issue that you'll be voting on as you make up your mind for governor in the fall?
No, not necessarily, but as a Republican, you know, it's going to be either one or the other. So that's what changed my mind. I was going to vote for Putnam, but then I heard about the E-Verify, and I thought, okay, well, Putnam, he was the agricultural guru, whatever you call it.
Commissioner, so yeah.
Holding the big agriculture, so he would be for a lot of cheap free labor. And so that did sway my opinion. But then, can I say something about what I hear from the left a lot is that Republicans want dirty air, dirty water. How can anybody say that the governor of Florida, no matter which party he's from, is going to ruin the air, ruin the water? That's ludicrous. The governor of Florida, no matter who he is or she is going to keep the air clean, the beaches pristine, because that's what keeps our taxes low and keeps the economy going in the state.
Well, Jim,
so to say that is a disservice.
All right, Jim, let me just hang on, because I think that's a really important point. When Governor Scott appoints people who are pro-development to the water management boards, when he fires his staff, a huge number of staff of the Department of Environmental Protection, and when he says that he's cutting regulations, and when many of those regulations are environmental protection regulations, that's why environmentalists, I don't know about Democrats, but that's why environmentalists say that he's in favor of dirty water. He, you know, the environmental community would say that he's done nothing to cut nutrient pollution into Lake Okeechobee, and that's why they think that he doesn't care about clean water. So what would you say back?
I would say that you just can't take it on face value. You have to look, all right? What are the regulations? Are they overlapping? Are they redundant? Are they superfluous? Just, you have to look at each regulation, take them one at a time, and not just take a generalized statement without doing your homework and your research. That's what I would say.
All right, and what would you say, you know, he cut the staff of the Department of Environmental Protection, so there's fewer watchdogs on the job, and he's put pro-development people to stack the boards of the water management districts. So how is that pro-environment?
How is it not? Maybe there were too many people. How many were on the board 5 years ago, 10 years ago?
No, I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about too many people. I'm talking about the ability to investigate pollution and the ability to make sure that our water resources are protected from development by stacking the water management boards with developers.
again, I would ask, okay, how many slots were eliminated? How many were there before? What are the numbers? What's the ratio? You can't just take a blanket statement and come to a conclusion from that. Oh, can I say something about the Democratic nominee?
Sure, go ahead.
Myself, like a lot of people, really don't know a lot about him. How did Tallahassee vote? Because if he is the past mayor of Tallahassee, I'd be curious how his past constituents voted.
Yeah, I will look that up. I looked at it last night. I think Leon County voted overwhelmingly for Gillum, but I will recheck that, Jim.
Because that would be a good barometer. To see, you know, if the allegations I've heard about him are true, maybe they're not. Again, even in that case, you got to take everything.
Yeah, I agree with you on checking everything, but Jim, I think if you check the stuff that I asked you, you'll find out that what I told you was true. Okay?
All right.
All right, Jim. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. If you're an environmentalist and you want to answer what Jim, just those important questions that Jim just raised, we'd like to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Freddie in Clearwater. Freddie, you're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Oh, God, there's so many things to say. I don't even know where to start. First of all, Karen, I agree with Karen 100%. Democrats are a bunch of wimps. We have let the Republican Party define who we are, and the liberals are a bad word, when in fact, Jim, we are, not you, Jim, but the one that just called, we are the ones that care about clean water and clean air. No, you don't care about it. By the way you vote, education, we can't find enough teachers. Because they're underpaid and overworked, because people like you vote for DeSantis and the Republican Party doesn't care about education. They care to a point. In other words, they're pushing. Let me give you an example, okay? They always talk about vouchers, these voucher schools, how great. You know how expensive it is to go to these schools? Well, that's why those schools do good, because it costs $10,000, $12,000, $13,000, $14,000, $15,000 to go to these schools. Yes, they underfund the public schools because they don't want them to be successful so they can use that as an out. I mean, everything has a plan for this party. The Democratic Party is for the people, for the worker, unions, decent pay, insurance. Let's go on and on. And let's talk about who cares about people, who cares about business. But I didn't vote for Gillum. Not because I don't like him, because when I voted, I thought, you know, I don't know if he can win the election, because what's going to happen, Jim and all his friends, now, this is not to lump everybody together that everybody's a racist, but trust me, I know people that have left the Democratic Party because of racism, that have told me themselves, and there are racist people out there, so I think Gillum is going to be up against it. It's going to bring out all the hatred, and Trump is going to be, it's going to be ugly. So if he can win, I didn't vote for Gwen Graham. I actually like Chris King, but hopefully we can do something and quit acting like, get out there, like Karen said, get out and vote, vote local. You know, this country hasn't really done that great in the last 20 or 30 years, would you say, in a lot of areas?
Well, I would say working people have really fallen behind in the last 40 years. If you look,
and who has been running this country in state, local, governors, president, except for Obama, who has been running this state and this country? Republicans. But you know what? They do a great job of putting the blame on liberals, when in fact they're the ones that are running everything.
All right.
We have no say.
All right, Freddie,
it's
thanks a lot.
Unbelievable.
All right, Freddie,
get
thanks a lot. Okay. Freddie, thanks a lot. I appreciate your passion. James writes this, my heart was telling me to vote for Andrew Gillum, but I thought Florida would never vote for a black governor, so I voted for Gwen Graham. My bad, writes James. And then Sandy in Spring Hill says, my friend went to vote early and she received a Republican ballot. She is a registered Democrat or independent. She said something to the ballot workers, but to no avail. Any more news on vote hacking alluded to by Senators Nelson and Rubio? No, I've not heard anything more. I promise I will keep on that story because I want to see where it ends. Harb writes this: DeSantis's spokesperson is confirming that he said this about his African-American opponent, Andrew Gillum. Let's not monkey up this election. That's a quote. And Harb says it's sickening, and it's now only a left versus right campaign, but it's also a racist versus progressive campaign. And David writes this: I'm very disappointed by the results of the primary for governor yesterday on both sides. I think that DeSantis will likely win the general election because Gillum won't garner enough support from independent voters. DeSantis is going to attack Gillum regarding the FBI investigation in Tallahassee. I was pleased that Jeff Green had such a crappy turnout. That's the second time he was trounced by a black candidate. Kendrick Meek beat him in the Senate race a few years back. That's part of David's email. 813-239-9663 is our phone number, and you're listening to a live local show here on WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lurie. Thanks for tuning in. And let's go to, we're going to go to Rob in Lutz. Hi, Rob. You're on. What would you like to say?
Yes, good morning, Rob. Yeah, I was happy about Gillum getting that, winning the primaries, because I just hope he has the stamina and the connections in Tallahassee to go further. So let's see how it turns out. Meanwhile, I overheard your confrontation with Simon yesterday, and today I've been outselling tickets to the grand event. So all the proceeds will go to WMNF. So if you take them on today, I'll be interested. But you got like 7 minutes left. Maybe you'll catch them on executive session, huh?
Okay. Well, maybe I'm not going to be on executive session. John will be here. But Rob, right. Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. Good to hear from you. And let's go to Maureen in Tampa. Hi, Maureen. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Good afternoon, Rob. Hello?
I'm waiting for you. Maureen, what would you like to say?
Well, I'm a Democrat, and I voted for Philip Levine. And I vote Democratic because I have no other choice. If I had another choice, I would. The Democratic Party, they are the party of sitting, being polite, being courteous, being everything but being fired up. I am over it, but I have no other choice, so I vote Democratic. Another thing is, Rob, you are so intelligent and so polite, and I really, really, really wish if you would put a time limit on these Republicans that's calling in. Stupidity should only have 10 seconds.
But Marie, we want to have a vigorous conversation. I mean, you can't have a vigorous conversation with just one side. I mean, we've had some independents, we've had some Democrats, and then we had a Republican caller. I like that. I think that invigorates. It stimulates the dialogue.
It doesn't stimulate anything because there's no brain being used. It's just pure stupidity. They sit down and they watch Fox News, and they listen to Limbaugh, and they come back and repeat the same stupid nonsense, and it makes no sense. I mean, you're telling them, look, the environment is being destroyed by Rick Scott, the people that he's appointed, and it's right there, it's a fact, and he keeps saying, using these big, large words like, okay, it doesn't matter how many syllables are in a word, you're still dumb. I mean, it should be a limit. 10 seconds, if they're still saying stupid stuff after 10 seconds, that's the end of the conversation.
All right.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. I think we should let everybody call. As long as it's a civil dialogue, I think that's okay. Let's go to Tony in Tampa. Tony, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Well, I know that I've listened to two people. I'm assuming they're going to be Democratic voters. One call Republicans stupid and eliminating their time. And the other one, moron, calling them morons. So, with that said, we'll put civility into the discourse. I actually voted for Putnam. I wasn't a big fan of DeSantis with the Trump baby commercials and all that kind of stuff. However, I will vote for DeSantis most likely, unless there's something really horrible about him in the election. I don't know anything about Gillum. I'm happy to see that he had a victory last night. I think it's really a testament that the left and the right will both get out there and vote, because quite frankly, I think both sides of the spectrum are sick with the establishment candidates that are almost guaranteed or walking in. And Gillum was a complete surprise tonight to everybody, including the pollsters. I think our belief in polls will plummet between 2016 and this election here, their prognostications have really not proven very very accurate.
But yeah, I'm going to do an interview tomorrow about why the polls got it so wrong. I think that's a really good point, Tony. Thanks a lot. What's your number one issue? What do you care most about here in Florida? Not so much the national issues, but the things that are going on here in Florida. What do you most want to see done in Florida, or protected, or changed in Florida?
I mean, I've worked in the civil engineering industry, so I'm more familiar with water matters, water production, raw water, processed water, all that good stuff. So I look at things a little differently. I know there were billions of dollars allocated for restoration of the Everglades in the early 2000s. I don't know how all those projects ended up, but it's billions and billions and billions of dollars that people may not be aware of. But I know that there are, you have EPA regulations. They may have been rolled back to an amount that a lot of people that consider themselves environmentalists don't like. But, I know that the water we drink it is, safer than probably anywhere on the face of the earth. And, we have a ton of people. We want to limit the population of Florida to 30 million people, then we can do something about the environment. But if we don't, and we want to have people to have property, to have property rights to be able to buy, sell, develop, it's a very tenuous task to have a balancing act and have a pristine, perfect everything. So that's basically it.
All right, Tony, thanks a lot. Thanks.
Thank you.
I just think that people should not allow nutrients that they use on their property to run off their property. And if it does, I think the state of Florida should call them on it. Chris in Lakeland says the emailer said that the Republicans had more total votes than Dems is forgetting that Florida is a closed primary state. That means independents had no say in the Gillum or DeSantis race, and we won't know their preference until the general election, which could change everything. That's Chris in Lakeland. DeMarco writes, Democrats need to turn out 100,000 more voters in November or get stuck with a racist Trumpite. The DNC needs to get over it and go left to beat Donald Trump, the bogus man. Stop excluding Bernie and other progressives. We're going to have Bernie Sanders' campaign manager on the show tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I hope you tune in for that. T-Man writes, if he thinks that Gillum would have won. Not sure why T-Man says that. Gillum did win. I'm trying to read these emails on the go. There's probably 50 emails here that I haven't read. Rick writes this, I voted for Gillum, but thought that the campaigns are run by how much money it takes to defame your opponent is discouraging. Seems like Americans vote by their response to negative and often inaccurate narratives by an opponent, and discussions are nothing more than candidates scramming bullet points rather than educating dialogue, writes Rick. And Steve writes this, perhaps congratulations for the Republicans in Manatee County, but I do not understand the legality of the following. I received an official sample ballot from Michael Bennett, the Manatee County Supervisor of Elections, which contained only four items, one for judge, three for school board. There was nothing indicating any other races. In the past, sample ballots contained many more items. This may be why more Democrats did not go to vote, writes Steve in Bradenton. And then David writes this, I hope, Steve wants to know about a show that we aired yesterday. And there are so many emails here. Duncan says he confirms that remark about DeSantis and monkeying up the vote. He sends a link to prove that. And Jess and Brandon writes, in response to Jeff, who left a message concerning racism's effect on the Republican primary, it's kind of hard to negate the statement when Ron DeSantis, live on Fox News this morning, tells Florida voters not to monkey things up by voting for Andrew Gillum. So more people calling in about that. More people are confirming, too, that Andrew Gillum did win the vote in Leon County, where Tallahassee is. Sean and John have sent that email in. And then DeMarco writes that during the Democratic National Convention in 2016, Governor Scott raised the level of carcinogens acceptable in Florida's water. He's pro-business at the cost of a livable environment. That's DeMarco's email. And then 727 says, please call it what it is, progressive versus liberal, pollution versus red tide. That's Eliza who sent that email. And Somebody unsigned from the 813 area code says your Republican caller on the Gandy Bridge can't handle the truth. Okay. Well, we're out at the end of the show. If you want to comment about today's program, you can call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. We have many more phone calls and emails than I could take. Sorry about that. But stick around because NOLA is going to host the Midpoint program. I suspect that NOLA is going to talk about the elections for the next half hour, so stick around for that. You're listening to the Bay Area's community radio station. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. I'm Rob Lori. Tomorrow on this program, we're going to talk about why the polls were so wrong, and we're also going to have Bernie Sanders' campaign manager from the 2016 presidential campaign on the show at 11 a.m., so be sure to be back here. And right now, we're going to get the latest news from National Public Radio. This is 88.5 FM, WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for NOLA. Here's the